Even state-of-the-art cyber protection can't prevent employee error. The insider threat is at the nucleus of the Coast Guard's newly revised cybersecurity strategy. The Coast Guard Commandant, Admiral Paul Zuncunft, joins me now to review what else the strategy encompasses and how cyber impacts the Coast Guard. Admiral, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me.
All right. So you talk a lot in this cybersecurity update about the maritime transportation system and its cyber vulnerabilities. I guess it's a good place to start to tell us what the MTS is, what it encompasses, and who is hooked into it.
Tom, the maritime transportation system, it's the conveyance upon which about 90% of our global commerce rides. It's on ships, it's in our ports, and it connects the United States with all of our global trade partners. It's also in our riverway systems as well. So the Coast Guard has a key role in regulating and, most importantly, safeguarding the maritime transportation system.
Is this something that is operated as a system by the Coast Guard? Is it one of your systems of record, or is it in the Commerce Department?
It's shared equally between the Coast Guard and certainly Department of Transportation has a role in the maritime transportation system, as does the Army Corps of Engineers when it comes to maintaining our waterways.
All right. So let me ask you this, too. Has the recent breach that's engulfed the government regarding the Office of Personnel Management, has that made you sit up and say, we better get march step on this whole thing?
Tom, it goes back even before then. The strategy that we put out has three key pillars, and one is, you know, defending the cyber domain, our internal cyber equities. The other is to make sure that we can operate in the cyber domain. Something as fundamental as search and rescue. It requires a beacon that goes off to a satellite that is downlinked to a Coast Guard station. It allows us to respond in a moment's notice, but all of that is cyber-enabled. And then there's another element of protecting the maritime industry. And as we look at threats to the, you know, cyber domain, many of our systems in the maritime transportation system are enabled by cyber. And many of the systems in that maritime transportation system can be remotely activated, what we call SCADA networks or SCADA systems. So we clearly do not want to see a disruption to cyber because it will clearly disrupt operations. It will also disrupt our economy as well.
So that means there are links between the internet and the MTS, even as far deeply as the SCADA systems within MTS.
And just if you could visualize a container terminal, about 90% of those operations are fully automated. When you look at a large merchant ship as it plies the high seas, it has a number of systems on that can be remotely accessed. It's navigation systems, it's main control console. And so in the wrong hands, it can really cause a great disruption. And so making sure that these systems are not vulnerable to an outside attack is clearly in everyone's best interest.
All right. So what does the report say to do about it? What actions will you be taking to shore up this whole protection scheme for the MTS?
Well, for the Coast Guard, we leverage many of the partnerships that we have. One of ours begins with, as a component within the Department of Homeland Security, we are lashed up with the Department of Homeland Security's National Cyber Security and Communications Integration Center. Much easier to say NCIC. But the Coast Guard is plugged in there. We're plugged in at U.S. Cyber Command. And we've also done outreach with many of our maritime stakeholders. They are clearly interested in what they can do to prevent a compromise of their systems, which contains intellectual property rights, but most importantly, the operating systems that enable them to sustain a just-in-time inventory, if you will, and much of that being facilitated through global maritime commerce.
And so you have all these, basically it's the shipping news become cyber, basically. And then how much does this relate to the other side of the Coast Guard's mission, which is drug interdiction and homeland security-related protection of the nation's waters? Does the MTS cover that part of your mission area also?
Well, that's really cyber in that regard, Tom. So 2 weekends ago, The Coast Guard interdicted 6 Pangas. These are 35-foot vessels carrying a total of over 4 tons of cocaine across an area the size of North America. North America meaning Canada, United States, Mexico. 6 boats. And I don't have an armada of ships out there, but if not for cyber, I would not be able to vector planes and cutters over an expanse that big and be able to intercept all 6 of those vessels over a period of less than 48 hours. All of that enabled through cyber. Some of that very highly classified, but cyber is the enabling mechanism that allows us to make smart decisions in the part of the world that is, you know, 2/3 of it is water, and that's where the Coast Guard is at its best.
We're speaking with Admiral Paul Zukunft. He is the Coast Guard Commandant. And so going forward with this cyberspace strategy, a big issue for many organizations is the insider threat, either malicious or simply inadvertent, where someone responds to a phishing email in the wrong way or leaves a password open, this kind of thing. What are you doing on the insider threat front?
That's a big part of the our first pillar, which is defending our cyber networks. One, we've created the human resource capital, the subject matter experts who will be my cyber experts for as long as they serve the Coast Guard. But when it comes to defending your networks, I've got 88,000 people in the Coast Guard and train. Our people are our greatest vulnerability. Complacency is the biggest threat to cyber. And we're certainly seeing some of that when we've seen cyber breaches play out that have drawn great publicity here of late.
And for your, let's call them the equivalent of the cyber warriors that the Coast Guard has, do you plan to keep them on the job rather than rotate people in and out of cyber as you might rotate people in and out of other assignments that the Coast Guard has?
Absolutely. They've got to stay in these positions, Tom. The rate of change with technology is such that if you leave this area of expertise and come back 3 or 4 years later, you've missed the train. You've got to stay in step with current technology and also leverage those relationships that you have across all of government that are working in the cyber domain. No better way to do that than to keep people locked into these positions for a full career.
And if you are doing cyber for the Coast Guard, is it completely ashore, or can you ever have a reason to step aboard a cutter where the action might seem to be?
We pretty much operate this from any location. Right now, we've set up an area here with the NKIC, so it brings in multiple actors looking at the financial sector, transportation sector, air sector, energy sector, if you will. And so that really is the center of excellence, if you will, and where the Coast Guard fits as we look at what threats are happening in the United States in the cyber domain. Also being plugged in with Department of Defense at U.S. Cyber Command, as if we have a cyber threat, then we want to determine who did it, and then ultimately what do we do about that threat. And having the Coast Guard plugged in at U.S. Cyber Command is a good fit for us. So there's a couple of key areas where the Coast Guard must be, and we will be, and we are there.
Because bringing this around back to the MTS and the involvement of trading partners around the world and all the shipping and economic information that travels on that network, you've got people operating as trading partners like China, important economic partners or whatever you want to call it, rivals, but economically involved with the United States, who are also suspects in some of the cyber breaches. And so how do you tiptoe around that one?
Well, when industry reports a disruption in their cyber domain, what we want industry to do is to report to us. And they probably don't want their name out in the headlines. And maybe it was a power outage that caused the disruption to their operating systems. But it's very helpful for us to know that there's been a breach. They're required to do so if there's a security breach. So we view cyber as a potential security breach and then look to see, is this happening elsewhere in the maritime domain? Is this actually part of a coordinated attack against the United States to disrupt our maritime trade capability? And that's really the nexus behind this, is so not just to look at the individual shipper, but is this part of a coordinated attack intended to undermine our ability to conduct maritime commerce?
And briefly, have you seen much activity in that area, or does it seem to be pretty well protected at this point?
We have not seen a lot of activity, but I don't want to wait for it to happen to then write a strategy to it. And so what this really does is it captures a lot of the best practices that we've acquired to date, but really to lock it in. And the strategy that we wrote, industry can use the same template, and they would call it a business plan. We happen to call it a strategy. But how do they protect their systems, how they operate in this domain, and how do they work with their trade partners to make sure that they don't have a breach that could potentially infect their operating systems?
All right. Admiral Paul Zukunft is the Coast Guard Commandant. As always, great to have you on.
Thank you, Tom, and have a great week.